Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
All right, Los Angeles, welcome back to the LA Football Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN. This is the final segment, the second hour of the show, and we're blessed to have you joining us as we get into some Rams Seahawks talk. Usually, this is such a fun game to talk about, Jamal, and one that has playoff implications, has history, has rivalry, has song and dance and pageantry. This year, a little different. Rams coming in 3-8, basically rostering the UCLA Bruins on their squad. That's probably who's basically starting because all the starters are out. No Russell Wilson in Seattle anymore. You got Geno Smith and a different skill set up there as well. But the Seahawks have, you know, really surprised people this year and are playing very well. It is kind of surprising that this is the first time these two teams meet this late in the season, if I'm not mistaken. So first time they will see each other, and it should be a good game still, division game. If you remember all the way back, Jamal, when the Rams were putrid in their St. Louis, end of St. Louis days in the Jeff Fisher era, they somehow always had Pete Carroll and the Seahawks number. Even those Legion of Boom years when the Seahawks were so good, a 2-win Rams team could go into Seattle and somehow win. And this game kind of feels similar to that right now. But welcome back. How you feeling? How you feel about this game going into it?
Well, doing well, Ryan. It's a really interesting game because Seattle struggled with Las Vegas last week. Really sort of that was a gut punch. We talked about Josh Jacobs earlier in the show. He really had a lot to do with that victory that the Raiders had over the Seahawks. Now the Seahawks kind of come back down to earth 6-5. They desperately need this game to stay pace for an opportunity for an NFC wildcard berth. And the Rams come into this game essentially having waved the white flag on this season, but now it's all about player development and player, you know, acquisition, player judgment, grades, all of that going into next season. And so for me, the big storyline, Ryan, is Aaron Donald missing his first career game due to injury. It's hard to believe this is where we are, year 9 of Aaron Donald. He's an interior defensive lineman, year 9, and he was able to play every game from beginning till now in terms of his rookie year until now. So just an absolutely staggering run coming to a close here, which we all need to tip our cap in terms of respect and appreciation there. I think on the field, another opportunity to see Perkins develop a little bit and develop some rapport with the likes of Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell. Another game where we get to see Kyren Williams and Cam Akers sort of running the ball in support of him. Another game where hopefully we get, for the first time ever, the same offensive line back-to-back weeks than we've had all year, and then an opportunity to sort of make some evaluations on the defensive side of the ball. So I think there's a lot to be excited about, because I think the Rams are unpredictable. And I think if you're the Seahawks, it's just a very hard game to prepare for, because you have no idea what the Rams really are going to do offensively. Obviously, Perkins has some limitations as a thrower, but I think this could be a game where you really get him out of the pocket a lot of different bootlegs, option routes, different things that you can do to maximize his skill set that I think is going to stretch the Seahawks defense horizontally, which may not be their strength. And then for the Seahawks on the offensive side of the ball, getting Geno Smith back on schedule in rhythm, and let's see what the Rams can do. Now, without Aaron Donald as a defensive lineman, how do they generate pressure in terms of both the pass rush but also clogging up the middle? So it's going to be fascinating to see the Rams front seven without the most decorated defensive player of this century.
Yeah, you know, looking at the quarterback position, Jamal, Eugene Cyril Smith III, having a fantastic season. That's Geno Smith, for those who don't know, after that long four names. Having a great season. Tip your cap to him. It's a journeyman. We've talked about it before. I can't remember if we talked about it on this show or off air, but it reminds me of that Rich Gannon year. Just a journeyman in the NFL, and all of a sudden went to the Raiders that one year and had an MVP, literally won the MVP that year with a historic season. And I think the MVP talks have fallen off, as I figured they would, but Geno's still putting together a really nice campaign. In your opinion, is Geno the real deal right now and potentially the future of the Seahawks? Or is it one of those feel-good stories? He's kind of had that chip on his shoulder and kind of playing above his means, but we're starting to see him come back down to earth and most likely will slide back into a backup role in the near future. What's kind of your thoughts on Geno?
It's a great question, Ryan. I think it's more of the latter. I'm really happy for him. That famous line that he had on Monday night, opening night against the Denver Broncos, where the Seahawks had that upset, where, you know, he said that everyone wrote me off, but I didn't write back. And, you know, that kind of became the quote of the year in the NFL for certainly the first half of the season. I think the big difference with Geno this year has been in decision-making. I think he knows what I think he knows the potential of a play more than he ever did before. He knows when a play is over and when to throw it away. He knows when the most he can get is 5 or 6 yards and when to check down. And then he knows when to kind of take those calculated risks. I think Geno earlier in his career was just such a gunslinger. And I think the way he got wired at West Virginia in terms of his style of play, he just brought that to the Jets and brought that to the NFL. And his skill set, as well as the personnel around him, just couldn't support that type of decision making. So I think a lot has come to Geno in terms of maturity over the years. I think what it's done for the Seahawks is it's allowing them now to be much more intentional and much more selective about who they want their quarterback of the future to be. If Geno was sort of the Geno of old, you're sort of double downing on this year's draft and just picking whoever is best available at the quarterback position in that first round. Now you can say, well, do we love Bryce Young? Do we love CJ Stroud? Do we want to wait for Caleb Williams? Is there someone else in next year's draft that we really have our eye on? And I think Geno has afforded himself the opportunity to be your bridge starter for at least another year. And I think that sort of loosens you up if you're John Schneider and say, okay, that gives us some more options. What's the trade market look like? What is potentially the contract situation with Lamar Jackson moving forward, for instance? Who else is out there? And then who do we really like in the draft? Whereas if Geno was the Geno of old, you're really limited, you're really desperate, and you start losing your negotiation and leverage power. So I see Geno going back to a backup role for the ultimate franchise quarterback of the future, but he's allowing himself to be that bridge for a lot longer. And for the right team, the right situation, if they're desperate enough, I think he can go somewhere else and again, be a bridge starter for a year or two.
Yeah, and you know, he's him and also obviously John Schneider and Pete Carroll have put that Seahawks franchise, and I know Rams fans won't want to hear this, but in a really, really good, formidable spot, because here they are at 6-5 in what feels kind of like a must-win game against the Rams after losing two straight now, you know, last week in overtime to the Raiders and to the Bucks previously. But where they sit, owning the Broncos' next two first-round picks, if the season ended today, they'd have the third overall pick in this year's draft. And so, as you alluded to, they can say, well, we don't love Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or one of these guys enough to take them at three. We trust, you know, enough for another season or two or whatever. Obviously, they would come out and say it differently, but we know it's probably a 1 or 2 year rental kind of thing. So they can either take a stud defender or, you know, your star skill player at three, or trade back, get more picks. And then guess what? The next year, they still have two first round picks with their own and the Broncos. And if they need to, they can go up and get a Caleb Williams, which I know Rams fans now are salivating over, since we've been hyping him up and saying the Rams need to go get him in 2 years if Matthew Stafford were to retire. So the Seahawks are in a very, very comfortable spot, which is, again, not great for Rams fans, but they've really done things smart, and Geno Smith has allowed them to look smart. We say all the time, Jamal, like, we can talk about coaching and GMs, but this is still a players' league. It's about players executing and players stepping up, and a player can make a coach look a lot better. A player can make a GM look a lot better, and Geno Smith has done that now for the Seahawks. And last thing about him I'll say, and I've kind of alluded to this before, but when you look at NFL players, and I'll talk specifically about quarterbacks, but NFL players in general, the talent discrepancy is so razor thin between 90% of these players. You have your superstar athletes that are in a different world, you know, and you look at the quarterback position. If you get drafted into this league, or even if you are on a roster in training camp and you win a battle and end up on a team, that right there shuts the door on if you're talented enough and have the skill set to play in this league, because you've then beat out the rest of the world in such a hyper-specific sport and the most important position in all of sports. And you have one of either two or three spots, maybe four with a practice squad guy on 32 rosters. I mean, you're looking at less than 100 total spots available in the world for this. So if you've made it that far, you are good enough to play in this league. Now you have your unbelievable off the chart talents in Mahomes and Herbert and Allen, and obviously Tom Brady, and those guys that are just, they're on a different planet, different level. After those guys, though, it really comes down to up here and your decision-making. How you are with the football, you're smart. If you get trigger happy, if you don't let the plays develop, if you're not smooth enough and wait long enough in your progressions, or if you're not quick enough in your progressions. And Geno Smith, early in his career, remember, he was the first quarterback taken, I believe. It wasn't until the second round, but in his year, the first QB taken out of West Virginia, which you mentioned it, but that was one of the funnest offensive teams, having Geno Smith in the backfield and those running backs they had. And I think right after that, then they had Pat White. Like, those were some fun West Virginia years running that offense out there. But he obviously had the skill set, but it was the decision-making that wasn't there, forcing throws, not letting things develop correctly. And now this year, you look at it, not a single game, Jamal, with under 64% completion percentage. So he's been extremely efficient, very low on the interception rate. Last week, even they lose in overtime, but still 328 yards and two touchdowns, like a very efficient game, 73% completion percentage. So yes, he's not a Josh Allen. Yes, he's not these game-changing quarterbacks, but I think he's done something remarkable in this, where he said, okay, I know I'm good enough to play, but now I need to be smart enough to play quarterback in this league. And this year he's proven that. And whether that gives him a starting level job the rest of his career or one for the next 16 months, he's definitely earned it. He's definitely a good quarterback in this league. I still think he's going to regress back to the mean of probably not being that MVP talks of week 4, 5, and 6. But I think he's deserved the talk that he's gotten. And, you know, I know it's in opposition to the Rams, but it's good for him to see that players of his caliber are able to turn that around this late in their career.
For sure, Ryan. And I think it's a great point. I think there's one other dimension to Geno Smith's renaissance, let's call it, this year. And that is how Pete Carroll has managed that relationship and managed the dynamic and managed his strengths and weaknesses. I go back to the game that the Seahawks had against the Chargers in SoFi. And if you recall, in that third quarter, Seahawks were playing really well, and there was a bad call while the Seahawks had the ball, and Geno sort of lit up the referee and was really fuming. And you could, and Pete Carroll runs over to Geno and sort of looks at him and just says, "Hey, Geno, just relax. Let's put it water over the, you know, under the bridge. Let's just let it roll off your back." And Geno was able to reset, and then that very possession, the Seahawks were able to score a touchdown. Earlier in his career, Geno was a bit of a hothead, and that situation could have turned a really good game into a really bad game, because the domino effect of one bad play would have turned into four bad plays, would have turned into 10 bad plays, and then the game would have been lost. So Pete Carroll has found a way to also channel good Geno from bad Geno and really made this a terrific year. And even on the telecast, Mark Sanchez was doing the game that day, and Mark talked about how Pete did similar things for him while he was at USC, because Mark was also quite the gunslinger, both with USC and early in his career with the Jets. And Pete has this ability to sort of calm you in the key, the most key of situations. So it's one of the reasons why Pete Carroll is a front runner for Coach of the Year earlier in the season. Obviously, the Seahawks have sort of taken a step back, but I would argue this is one of Pete Carroll's best coaching years since the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl that second time. And so I think this has been a renaissance, not just for Geno Smith, but also for Pete Carroll. Let's not forget, Ryan, going into the season, a lot of chatter about maybe this is the last season for Pete Carroll. The game has maybe passed him by, even though he's so youthful and vibrant and energetic. He is in his 70s. Maybe this is time to hang it up. I think all of that noise has really quieted with Pete's ability to still be able to relate to the modern player. And I think that Geno Pete Carroll relationship has paid off huge dividends for both guys, as well as for the entire Seahawks organization.
Yeah, it's wild how it's gone. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Geno end up replacing Mark Sanchez with the Jets? Do you remember? I'm trying to think back. Yeah, I know they're about 4 years apart, and I think it was
ironically enough, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, that's funny. So, but anyway, so all right. Well, when you look at this game, Jamal, I mean, it's hard to really dive in and preview, just because, like I said, this Rams team is just so injured. I mean, no Donald, no. I don't think Matthew Stafford has officially been ruled out, but basically McVay said in his press conference, like, yeah, you can plan on him not playing, essentially, is some paraphrasing term of that he said. Cam Akers, I expect to go, but he missed practice on Thursday due to an illness, which, you know, I think we want to see more Kyron Williams anyway, so I think that's okay. But you have more injuries on the offensive line. Odey Obusi missed practice. More offensive linemen have been banged up. Brian Allen's been limited again and trying to get his return. David Edwards had a setback. You look at the receivers positions, obviously our top two are gone. So it's, you know, the Van Jefferson, Ben Skowronek show, hopefully more Tutu Atwell. I mean, what really that we haven't already said in the previous couple of weeks are you kind of looking for from the Rams in this game in terms of player development, execution, coaching, and whatnot to kind of put a positive spin on the rest of the season going into this game, at least?
Ryan, for me, it's, again, I think we want to see what we have out of the players that you mentioned and who really wants to be here going into next year and who's going to sort of, who is this Rams roster going to build around? The thing that I'm starting to really look for with the Rams these last few weeks is this isn't really an NFL roster. And so to me, all eyes for me are on McVay. I want to watch him, how he plays, play calls, how he makes adjustments, and just his overall engagement level on the sideline. Because that's going to tell me a lot moving forward about whether or not he wants to come back. I mean, I think we're in this situation now where there's a very real conversation that I think Matt Stafford, Sean McVay, and Aaron Donald are probably going to have. They're probably going to go rent out the nicest area of the Polo Lounge in the Beverly Hills Hotel in the middle of January, and they're going to lock it all up, and it's going to be the three of them. They're going to have a beautiful meal, very expensive bottles of wine, and they're going to lay their cards on the table and say, who really wants to come back, and what's still here? And so I think that is going to determine so much of the Rams' strategy moving forward in terms of whether 2023 is, hey, let's go in a little bit and try and get one more, or let's just start the rebuild process from now. So to me, a lot of it is going to depend on McVay's level of engagement and how he sort of enjoys this process. Does he still enjoy preparing for a game, coaching through the game, knowing that there is no playoffs on the other side? There really is nothing of meaning, and you're really doing it for the love of the game. So all eyes for me, Ryan, are on Sean McVay and how he approaches this game. On the field, I think Perkins is really lobbying and auditioning for that backup spot next year. I think Kyren Williams is really lobbying and auditioning for RB1 next year. And I think there's a bunch of defensive guys now with Justin Hollins being gone. Now, Donald is not playing. You know, a lot of opportunities now for guys to fill in that void and see what they're made of. I don't see the Rams winning this game. I don't really see the Rams winning more than another game or two the rest of the year. This is probably going to be historically the worst season for a defending champion in the history of football. That's just what it is. That's the reality. We can't really escape that. So for me, it's all about McVay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, here we are ready to wrap the show up. So prediction time kind of, and I'll start and then toss to you. But I don't know, Jamal, maybe it's the optimist in me, but to me, we talk about trap games all the time. And usually it's about our teams going into trap game. We talk about it a lot with UCLA and USC because of the great seasons they were having and, you know, getting caught potentially in a trap game. And this has that feeling for the Seahawks, where it's hard to call a division game a trap game because anyone can win any given Sunday, period, but especially in the division. But something about this is how battered and injured the Rams are. We mentioned it with the Raiders in our first segment, talking about the Raiders against the Chargers. Like, really nothing to play for other than just the guy next to you, your coaches, your fans, and for these young guys for potentially a roster spot next year. So nothing to lose. I could see McVay taking the bag of tricks out. Like, why not? Whether it's Walford or John Perkins, most likely will be Perkins. But I know that there's been talks of Walford maybe getting back in time. But yeah, I expect this just to be a fun game. And I think the Rams play spoiler, and I'm not giving you a lot of time. You got basically 20 seconds, but I'm going to go Rams win 17-13 on the backs of their defense and get a couple of tricks plays in there that turn into touchdowns.
Love it. The optimist in Mr. Ryan Dyrud strikes again. I love what you said there, Ryan. And I think it all makes sense with the exception of the Seahawks having lost two games in a row and knowing how important this is for their season. I think they're going to be totally locked in. I think if they had come off two straight wins, I think they probably get caught napping. After two straight losses, I think they desperately need this game. I think they win 27-16. And make that push for the playoffs. But I think we're going to see some bright spots, in particular from Kyren Williams. This will probably be his best game as a Ram, and it'll be exciting to see. But 27-16, Hawks.
There you go. Well, we shall see. Game is at SoFi in Los Angeles. Can't wait. We will have plenty of coverage after the game, do some live stuff as we've been doing every week. This is the LA Football Show. Thank you all for tuning in. Talk to you all next week. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.